Welcome to Gemara Markings Daf Yomi Tosfos Shiur Brachos Daf Mem Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf to view today's Mark Tosfos using the popular Gemara marking system, similar to that used for the Daf Gemara. If you are not already familiar with our system, a thorough explanation is available by clicking on the Learn the System option. We begin from the top of Daf Mem Zayin, the Tosfos Ein Hamasubin Rashoin Litom Ad Shiyutom Hamavorech. The Gemara was dealing with Hilchos Seuda, and it was mentioned that the people that are joining a meal are not allowed to eat until the one who made the hamotzi eats or tastes first. The Gemara, the Tosfos asks, V'teimo mehahu sabo da'arvei psachim. The question is raised from an incident involving a particular old man in Maseches Psochim, the Gochin Vishasi, that he bent over to drink before the one who made the bracha actually drank. Alma Vishasi Koidem HaMavorech. So you see from there that one can drink before the one that made the bracha. In other words, one of the participants, one that was listening to the bracha, tastes before the one who made the bracha. The Tosfos answers, and we have a series of ways out, and we've marked these with triangles. So the first of these possibilities is Shema Yesh Chiluk Bein Achila L'Shtia. Maybe there is grounds for making a distinction between eating and drinking. Even though in many areas of halacha, eating and drinking are viewed as the same, but there are differences, so maybe this would be a point of difference. Inami yesh lomar delo shosa ela laharos lo maisa shloho yotzorach loimar yoser. It could be that he didn't drink for the sake of drinking; rather, he drank in order to show that the text of the kiddush that was the issue there in Maseches Psachim doesn't require any more than the actual minimum that was said by the one saying the bracha. So he made this drinking motion to show that's it. So it could be from this Tosfos one could understand he didn't actually drink, but he made a motion of drinking simply to show that the bracha ends at what was said, and there's no, and as far as the Gemara and Psachim is concerned, there was no need for more to be said. But that's we'll call that an exceptional case. Even if he did drink, from the Tosfos it seems that he made the motion of drinking, and therefore it's not a problem because he didn't actually drink. Ubirshalmi Yesh, the Yerushalmi has a new approach to the question. Kishiyesh l'chol echot kikro oikosu biyadoi. If you have someone making a bracha for others that are seated around, but each one of the participants has his own loaf of bread or his own cup of beverage, then the objection mentioned in our Gemara doesn't apply, because our Gemara was not talking about a case like that where everyone had their own food item in front of them. And as far as the case in Psachim is concerned, he had his own cup of wine in front of him. So he wasn't dependent on the cup of wine that the mevorech, that the one who was making the bracha, was drinking from. V'hochi isob Yerushalmi. And in fact, thusly it says in the Yerushalmi, and now we have a few lines of quote in the Tosfos from the Yerushalmi. Omar Rebbe Bun b'shem Rav. Ein hamasubin mashoyim litom ad shiyutom ha-mevorech. The comment there is just like we saw in our Gemara, that the people that are seated around cannot eat until the mevorech eats. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Omar Shoysin, Afa Pishalo Shoso HaMevorech. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi seems to say otherwise. He says that they can drink even though the mevorech hasn't yet drunk. However, Velo Pligi, there really is no argument. Rabbi Bun B'Shem Rav Shezokuk L'Kois Echod. The halacha of Rav, where they're not allowed to taste until the one who makes the bracha, is that they are all dependent on his cup. That's where they're going to drink from. And Rabbi Shulben Levi's case is that each one had their own cup. That's the story as far as the Yerushalmi is concerned. V'chein also Rabbeinu Shimshon b'chupa achas, and thusly Rabbeinu Shimshon conducted himself at a wedding. She botza hechoson hamotzi v'ya botzea Rabbeinu Shimshon hapas shohi lefon of the ochel, where the groom, the chosen, made hamotzi over a loaf of bread, but Rabbi Shimshon ate from the bread that was in front of him. In other words, within the context of this point, it would seem that Rabbi Shimshon was yotze with the bracha that the chosen made, but he went ahead and ate even before the chosen ate from his bread, because Rabbi Shimshon had his own loaf in front of him. Vasar mikutzi hoya omer im botzo hamavorech v'nosan l'chol echod chelkoi. If the one making the bracha actually split up the bread and gave a portion to each one, so there is significance here in his giving a piece to each one. Ein tzorch lahamtin kol echod ad shi'itom hamavorech. Then each one doesn't have to wait till the mavorech tastes from his bread. In other words, you have a situation here where the person made a bracha and started dividing out the bread even before he tasted himself. So those who received the portion can eat as soon as they get it, even though the one who made the bracha didn't eat from it yet. And our Gemara here that says, the people seated around are not allowed to eat before the mavorech. Hainu lahakdim vilivtsoa min hapas shebotsa hamavorech. That is a case where the person made the bracha on a particular loaf, and people seated around, they cut from that very loaf on their own. So, under such circumstances, so they are not to taste from that which they took on their own from the loaf of the bracha. Aval achar shenosan l'chol echad chelkoi ein kepeda. However, if the one making the bracha gave, he initiated the giving out to the people, the participants, so then there is no objection to their eating before the mavorech tasted. V'chein tzorech lomar b'samuch. And likewise, we will Tosfos explains the Gemara that follows, and here we quote from the Gemara: Habotzea hu poshet yodo tchilo litbol pito. The one who made the hamotzin, he extends his hand first to dip the bread in whatever condiments there are. Ve'im bo lachlo kovel rabo rasho. And if he wants to give honor to his teacher, so he can do that. Ve'amai, how can the teacher end up eating before? V'ho'ein ha'masubin rashoin litoin, the ones that are sitting there are not allowed to taste before he, and yet yet the Gemara itself says that he can give the honor to his Rav to be toivel the pito first. V'ho'ein lomar de min hatibul l'chudei ko'omar. Ach hamavorech ochel kodem, and don't say that all it meant is that the rabbo, the teacher, dips into the condiment first, but not actual eating. The imkein ma kovud hoya ze. What honor is there in the act of dipping a piece of bread into some type of condiment? Avol l'fima shiprash dinicha. Rather, according to what we're explaining, Tosfos was explaining, is things are smooth. In other words, if the botzea gives, he initiates by giving the right to someone to do something ahead of time. Like we explained, the botzea was dividing out pieces to the people sitting there, or he gives an honor to his rabbo. What is the honor? Not only dipping in the condiment, but dipping and eating before him. V'yesh meforish poshet yodov tchila bekara. There are those that explain the expression of poshet yodov that the Gemara uses is lahaschil b'achila, that it actually means to start eating. So that it would be then directly understood from the expression abotzeh yodov poshet yodov. Tchila, it means to eat, to actually eat, and therefore it's obvious in the expression itself without any need for further explanation that it's a reference to giving the rabo the honor to eat first. Umikan mashma she'ein tzorich limzog mikois brocha l'shar koisos hecho sheish b'fnei ha'orchim koisos she'ein on pegumos. From here we can surmise that if everyone has their own cup and someone is making brocha, we'll say he's making kiddush over a cup of wine, he doesn't have to pour from his kiddush cup to the divide out to those that are seated around, as we said, in the event that they have their own cups of wine in front of them, provided that the cups of wine that they have in front of them have not been used for a brocha yet. However, if the cups that the participants are pegumos, pegumos means that a bracha was made over that cup of wine already, so then we are interested in their receiving the portion, a portion of wine from the cup over which the kiddush was made. The next Tosfos deals with the Omein topic, and it was taught in the Gemara that one should not answer an Omein Yisoma. What is an Omein Yisoma? She'en shomea habrocha mipi amavorech, the one achar ha'achirim shishomu Omein, where someone didn't hear the bracha made. All he did is he saw the other people answering Omein, so he answered Omein along with those around him. The Tosfos asks a question, it lasts a couple of lines, and we have a long question marking, you can see, to the immediate left-hand side of the Tosfos text. Tema, Daha Amrinon B'Sukkah, the Gemara in Sukkah reports the following, B'Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim, in the shul in Alexandria, which was a very large shul, Shoyashom Kal Godol, a very, very large assembly of people were there, V'lohoyu Yechilim Kulim L'Shmoyim Epiyam Avarech, and the people, not all of the people could hear the one who was saying the brochus in that shul, so that when he was saying brochus, they didn't hear. And you know what they did? For Yemenifin Besudrin, there would be those that did hear the brocha, which they would wave a flag, Kidei Sheyedu Chasimas HaBrochus V'Anu Amen, so that the people in the far reaches of that particular shul would know that now the end of a bracha has been recited and it's time to answer Amen. So it seems that it's quite acceptable. You didn't hear the bracha and you can answer Amen. So what about our halacha about not answering an Amen Yisoyma? V'yesh lomar, the answer is Shehoyu Yoyden Beis Abrocha Chazen Omein. The people in that shul in Alexandria Mitzrayim, they didn't actually hear the bracha, but they knew where the chazon was holding. They knew where the shliach tzibur was holding, and they knew which bracha he just ended. They simply didn't hear it, but with the waving of the flag, they knew he ended a bracha, and they knew which bracha it was. Omnam lo yushomano. So all that was lacking there is they didn't actually hear it. Aval hocha mayri, our Gemara here is speaking she'enom yoidim klal hechon hachazon oimed umispalel ubeizav bracha hu oimed. Here he doesn't know which bracha the chazan ended. He doesn't know where the chazan is holding. Ela oina achar macher b'lo shmiya v'lo yediyah. In our Gemara, he's answering Omein together with others without himself hearing nor knowing which bracha has been ended. And that is an Omein Yisoma, and we saw how much objection there is to that. The next choice is called Marich Bomein, Marich Lo Yomov Ushnosav. So we mentioned that answering an Omein, an elongated Omein, one merits extension of life, a long life. However, when we say elongated, but not too much, but not to stretch it out too much. The taimo, and the reason for not stretching it out too much is very simple. The fisha'in kriyas hateva ke mashmo'o kishu marich yoser midai. There is no meaning to the word. If a person, let's say, says, oh, a long aleph. They're all may and without the nun. So there's no meaning to that partial pronunciation of the word. Umaskona de milsa, the ein habotzea rashoi liftzoa ad shi yifle omein mipi roiv ha'unim. And as far as the conclusion of the Gemara regarding when the person making the bracha can start eating, so it's at the point that the majority of those assembled answered Omein, and we don't take into consideration those people who are answering the Omein in too long a fashion. So that in this context of it is nice to have a long Omein, but not too long, and in the case of people assembled, and you have to wait for them to finish answering their Omein, all we do is take into consideration the majority of the Omein responders. In our Gemara, we had an incident with Rav and Shmuel, who were had a meal together, and they were two, and Rav Simi Bar Chiya came along and joined them and ate very quickly in the hope of finishing whatever he's eating so that he could be part of a zimun with Rav and Shmuel. So Rav in the Gemara had said to Rav Simi, do you think you're going to join up with us? We finished eating already. So Shmuel points out, if we would be served a final course or another course, and the examples were if they brought to me, says Shmuel, mushrooms and truffles, and they brought some little birds for Rav, would you not continue eating? So on those grounds, even though they physically finished their meal, but being that they had this desire, or they would have had a desire had they been served these extra things, so this Rav Simi in this case could in effect join and create a zimun. So Tosfos says mashma dekein halacha. It sounds like that this is in fact the way to go. The halacha is like that. The Rav nami lo polig. Rav doesn't. You don't see Rav objecting to Shmuel's comment. Aval e Omar. However, if someone had said hav lon venivrich, you know, so the people that had eaten, let's say you have the two people that had eaten said, okay, let's bench now. Shesichu daitem lechol, with that they disconnect their thoughts from further eating. Ein shlishi mitzarif imoyim. The hav lon venivrich announcement or expression is enough to prevent a third person from joining up with them, as we saw in the Gemara. Vehilchasa godol mevorech. If you have a group of people that had eaten together, so we saw a discussion in the Gemara of does the leading person that's there lead the zimun, or does, as the Gemara used the term, the ikur shebesuuda is mevorech. The ikur shebesuuda, Rashi explained, one of the people that was there from the beginning of the meal. So the question is, if a greater person came toward the end of the meal, and ate something with them, does he lead even though he wasn't there at the beginning, must it be someone that was there from the beginning? So the Gemara's maskana was hilchasa godol mevorech afagav da'asa b'sof, that even if he came late, the godol, the greatest of the people that are in this particular meal, he leads the benching. The Tosfos says, "V'hilchasa godol mevorech umiu im hagodol noisein rishus lekoton mevorech shapir." If the godol wants to give the honor of leading to someone lesser, so he can do that. It's okay. Kida ashkon, we have a precedent for that in our Gemara. The Omar le Rav Moshe Yodoch, Rebbe, who had been at a meal together with Reb Chiya and Rav, and Rebbe, the greatest of that group, gave the honor to Rav. He said to Rav, Mosh Yodach, which meant wash your hands, wash your Mayim Achronim, so that you will lead the Birchas HaMazon. So there's an example of the Godol giving the honor to the lesser individual. In our Gemara, based on the Mishnah that said if they ate demai, if someone ate demai, which is produce purchased from an amoretz, where even though rove amoratzim are mafrish, a miut are not mafrish, and hence it requires you who purchased from him, from the ignoramus, you have to do a hafrosha, a tithing. So the Gemara pointed out that in response to the question, but demai is something you can't eat. It's not tithed, midrabanan. So the Gemara answered, since a person could declare his property unown and he would become an oni, he'd become impoverished, so then he is entitled, an oni is entitled to eating demai. And we had a Tanaic source that quoted that machil so aniyim demai, veso achsanya demai. And the achsanya, it has to do with the king's military personnel that come to town. So we're going to now look into Tosfos on this issue of the achsanya. Umachilas achsanya demai, mairi b'achsanya Yisrael umutolim aleihem lozunam vehem ke'aniyim. The Tanaic source that says that we can feed the achsanya demai, this first pshat in Tosfos, there's another pshat coming up. The first pshat says it's talking about Jews that are make up this military personnel, and it's upon the community to support them, and they are viewed as aniyim. V'dafka demai, and the limitation of this leniency is only as far as giving them demai. Afal tevel loy dekosafalu iser misa, but to think that the community will be allowed to feed the achsanya tevel is stuff that is produce that has definitely not been tithed, that would be usur, because the kosofu means you're feeding them isur misa, something that's usur to eat, with the penalty of misa bidei shamayim, death at the hands of heaven. So that there's a major difference between demai, which is something that from the Torah standpoint is actually allowed, and tevel, which is from the Torah standpoint forbidden. Vinami b'achsanya shel nochrim shehitil aleihem hamelech. And if you can also explain that achsanya is a reference to a group of Gentiles that are constitute the military personnel, and the king placed upon the town to feed them. Mikomokom dafka demai. Even if you're dealing with Gentiles that are not forbidden from eating untithed produce per se, just like Gentiles are not prohibited from eating unkosher animals. Nevertheless, as far as the Jewish community is concerned, they could feed them only demai, aval tevel lo, but for the Jew to take his untithed produce and feed the Gentile military personnel, that would not be allowed. Why? Dimkein pireya choivo mimomoni shokoyin. In effect, he would be paying off his debts, in this case his obligation. There's a obligation levied upon the townspeople to feed the military personnel, and he would be executing his levied obligation through produce that in effect is supposed to be tithed, and the tithes given to the kohen. So you'd be using portions that are latent portions of Kehanim to pay off your debts of feeding the achsanya, and that is not allowed. The Omar Rav Huna, Tono Veishamai Omrim Ein Machilin. In our Gemara, we had cited a Tanaic source that said you can feed the impoverished and the military personnel demai, and then Rav Huna quoted a Tanaic source featuring Shitas Veishamai that says you cannot. Ve'im tomar, you might ask, Rav Huna, taimo de beishamai osalash minen, de hochi porach bekama duchtin, if you might want to ask here, like is asked in many other places, is Rav Huna coming to tell us Shitas Beishamai? After all, we generally speaking, we know the halacha doesn't go like Beishamai. So what was Rav Huna gaining by introducing Shitas Beishamai, especially here at the end of the discussion? Why would he then be cited as, why would Rav Huna then quote Beishamai? The Yesh Lomar, the Kamash Molon, what Rav Huna is accomplishing is the following. The Mishkachas Tanat Yomer Ein Machilin, if you should ever chance upon a Tanaic authority that says you do not feed the Aniyam Demai, let it be known, Beishamahi, Velo Techush Loisa Mishnah Oibraisa. Let it be known that it's Shitas Beishamai, and hence it doesn't figure in halachic ruling or halachic formulation as a position to contend with. Because of the approach that we have in general to Shitas Beishamai is that it is not lehalocha. So Rav Huna was simply providing, we'll call it a service for us in general, to let us know that if you should see someone that says Ein Machilin, realize that that is Beishamai. We continue with the thesis on Amud Beis. Amar Rav Huna, halocha ke'achirim. The Gemara has cited a Tanaic source that said Ein Mizamnin al Am Haaretz, that one does not create a unit of Zimun if one of the participants that are necessary is an Am Haaretz. Then the Gemara had asked the question, what is an Am Haaretz? Gemara had cited a Tanaic source raising that question. And there were a number of shitos that were presented in the Tanaic source of what constitutes Am Haaretz. And then we saw shitas achirim that said even if someone had been knowledgeable of the written Torah, that's Korah, Vishana, and was familiar with Mishnayos, however, Veloshimish Tamidei Chachamim, Harei Am Haaretz, he had not learned the Shas, he had not learned Gemara, so he is considered an Am Haaretz. And Rav Huna said the halacha is like that, like the Shitas Achirim. So Tosfos says, Vo'idno, we're at the top of Omid Beis, Vo'idno ein onu medaktikim. Nowadays, we're not so careful about that. Uregilim onu luzamein ba'ame horetz, and we do join Amaratzim in our Zimun, and in order to do something, to say something like that, where the Gemara has a clear psak, you'd have to have precedent for doing otherwise. So Tosfos gives us the precedent or the basis. Kedamrin b'chagiga, as is mentioned in Maseches Chagiga, keman mekablinon ho'idno sadusa me'am oretz. Based on whom do we accept testimony from an amoretz? Amoretz are people that their trustworthiness is questionable. So how is it that we accept testimony from Amaratzim? So the Gemara answers, Keman, Kerebi Yossi, like Shitas Rebi Yossi, that's featured there in Maseches Chagiga, which deals with accepting wine from them on the holidays as a sacrificial wine in the Beis Hamikdash. We accept from them even though there could be problems of tuma. Nevertheless, we accept their wine offerings. Kedei shelo yeh kol echod hoylechu boine bo meliatzmo. So that, as if we wouldn't accept from them, so then they would be very much offended, and they would go ahead and build their own altar, and you'd have a split basically a split in the Jewish people in the form of two temples. And in order to prevent that, so we relaxed certain stringencies because of a greater consideration. And that's Shelo Yeh Kol Echad Holech Ubona Uboine Boma Liatzmo. In our description of having two Beis HaMikdash, it's a manner of speaking, because the actual translation is that if we won't accept from the Amaratzim their offerings, so each one will go and offer on his own personal altar, creating a great deal of dissension in Klal Yisrael. In the Hour of Gemara, an incident came up concerning the freeing of a slave in order to create a minyan of 10 people for shul, for davening. And the question had arisen that how can you do that? Is there not a specific prohibition of kol hamashachar avdo over basay? So the Gemara eventually answered, when it comes to a mitzvah of the rabbim, so there the halacha is different. In other words, the prohibition is overruled. The prohibition of freeing a slave is overruled by the mitzvah de rabbim, the need, the public need. Mikan koshe, the Tosfos raises a question, and you'll notice in our marked Tosfos that this is in effect a very long question. It's basically Tosfos attacking the position of the halachas gedolos. Mikan koshe halachas gedolos de piresh. The mi shemes lo mes biyom tov acharon, someone who unfortunately had a close relative that passed away on the last day of Yom Tov, the avelus noheg. Now, when we say the last day of Yom Tov, we're talking about the what's called Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias. It's the Yom Tov Acharon, the second day of what are known as the second days, which is a day of rabbinic origin, and generally speaking, mourning is not practiced on the holiday. However, if someone died on the last day of the second days, so he will practice the laws of Avelus. The lo osi yom tov ha'achron derabonan v'dochi Avelus daraisa. And we will not say that Yom Tov, which is rabbinic, will push off the observance of Avelus on certainly on the first day, which is Do'oraisa, which is of a Torah origin, Dechtiv. The Pasuk says, V'achriso k'yoim mar, that there's one day of bitterness. So there's a recognition that the first day of Avelus is on a Torah level. So the Baruch Gedolo says that we're not going to allow something that's rabbinic to overrule something that is of a Torah nature. So what is bothering Tosfos? The Ocha Chazinon, here in our Gemara, we see the Asya Tefillah de Rabbanan, the need to having 10 people for Tefillah B'tzibor, which is rabbinic, V'dachya Kro, to the Olam Bohem Tavodu. And it does push off, it overrules and supersedes the posuk of saying that you shall keep them enslaved. In other words, from this we learn not to free a slave. So the Torah tells you, in effect, don't free the slave. And here, because of a rabbinic consideration, we are freeing the slave. So when it came to the halachas gedolos, why not say that Yom Tov Sheni, which is Durabonan, the Yom Tov Achron, which is Durabonan, shall also overrule the rules of mourning, which is Doraisa. V'chein Mashmanami Beresh Ksubas. And a further source of objection to be raised against Halachas Gedolos is that which we see at the beginning of Maseches Ksubas, Gabi Chosen, Noyeg Shiva Yemei Hamishte. We should just say a word about this, is that if in the event, it's a rather unfortunate story where a Chosen and Kala are getting married, so they entered their chuppah, they thereby got married, and at that moment, so the father of the Chosen, or the mother of the Kala, expired. And the rule is, by the Chosen, his Noheg Shiva Yemei Hamishte, he observes 7 days of festivity because of his wedding, V'achar kach Noheg Zayin Yemei Avelus, and then observes the 7 days of Avelus. Umide Shivas Yemei Hamishte Mevatlin Avelus Doraisa. We see there that the 7 days of Mishte, which are rabbinic, are overruling the Avelus, which is Doraisa. And there you're dealing with the chosin's a personal holiday, so to speak. It's his holiday. And that's overruling Avelis Doraisa. Kol Shekein Yom Tov Sheni, all the more so, Yom Tov Sheni should have the strength to overrule Avelis, which is not like the Halachas Gedolos. So Tosis basically then presents our Gemara as one source, and the Gemara in Ksubas as a second source, showing that the opinion of the Halachas Gedolos is questionable. The next Tosis deals with the issue of a youth being brought in to conform a Zimun. Rabbi Yochanan mentioned Kotan Porech Mezamnin Olav. Now, what is a Kotan Porech? So, Rashi has his pshat, and Tosfos quotes the Rashi's pshat, and then Tosfos will quote the Rabbeinu Chanan. You can see we've used diamonds to highlight these two opinions. So, Pirush Rashi, Shehevi Shtei Cyrus Vadayin Lohigia Lishloshis Reishanov Yom Echad. Dealing with a boy that has produced pubic hairs, but he hasn't completed his 13 years of age. So Rashi is defining Koton Poreach as that. Yes, hairs, but not age. Veloy Nihiro. It doesn't appear to be like Rashi. The Imkain Amai Omar Basamuch, why later on the page, the last line of the Gemara and the line just before it, why does it say over there regarding there was a source that you can see at the second to last line of the daf, cotton shehevi shtei cyrus mezamnin olav. Now a cotton means he's under 13 and a day. He's under age, but he did produce hairs. And the source had an inherent problem, and the resolution of the Gemara was, well, this source comes to include a Kotan Poreach. But now, according to Rashi, a Kotan Poreach doesn't need to be included. He is stated he's stated explicitly in the source. The Imkein Amai Omar Basomuch La'asuye Kotan Poreach, that the source is coming to include a Kotan Poreach, Hainu Shehevi Shtei Cyrus Dikotoni Bebraisa Behedya. According to Rashi's Pshat, a Kotan Poreach is someone that brought forth the two hairs, but you wouldn't say that the source comes to include that when it's stated explicitly. Al Kochuch Pirush Rabbeinu Chananel Kotan Poreach Besoch Yud Gimel Shana, you're talking about someone who is in his 13th year. He hasn't completed 13th years. He's 12 and a half. Vadayan Loy Hevi Shtei Cyrus Yiduois. And he hasn't produced two clear or obvious pubic hairs. She'enen G'doylois K'dei Lochuf Roishon Likoron. There might be hairs that are sprouting, but they're not hairs that are long enough to bend the tip over to its base or to its root. Shekain hu shiurum. When we speak about having produced two hairs to establish adulthood, they have to be that long enough that they'd have enough length that you could. They're not stubbles. They'd have enough length that you could bend them over, and the tip of the hair would be able to be bent over to its base. Ulahachi kori le poreach, and it's for this reason that the Gemara uses the term poreach. Sheporchu v'tzomchu bosaros, aval einon gedolus kol hashior. They're just jutting forth or sprouting, but they haven't grown their full length, size, the full quantity. V'hashto hachi pirusho. And now we will explain the source that was problematic at the bottom. Amris Hevi. On the one hand, the source says Kotan Shehevi Shtei Cyrus Mzamnolov. The Mashma Hevi Dafka. That implies that they are fully grown hairs. v'hoder katani, and then at the end of that very same source it says ein medaktik b'katan. Demashma filu lo hevi. That would imply even without hairs. So how do you resolve that? Elo shma mina la'asuye katan poreach. That the point of this source, with its seeming inherent contradiction, is really coming to tell us that a katan poreach can be used for a zimun. And as according to the Rach, the katan poreach is someone who's within his 13th year of age. He's not; he hasn't completed 13 years, and his hairs are not fully grown. And that's different than Rashi. Rashi spoke about someone who was underage, but has fully grown hairs. For Ossi Seifa Ligluy Resha, and the end of the Tanaic source comes to shed light on the beginning of that Tanaic source. The Mashua Mibaresha Hevi Sheisiris, the opening expression of that source, it says that a cotton who brought forth two hairs. What does brought forth in this source mean? Hainu Porchos. It means they're simply sprouting forth. Sheinun Cyrus Mamish, not real hairs in terms of length. Uchida Piresh. As the Rach explained, Shenichnas Besof Yud Gimel Shana. He has entered his 13th year. He celebrated his 12th birthday, entered his 13th year, and he has these hairs that are just stubble hairs. Did we not learn earlier that if you have a child in a cradle, he becomes a sniff, is he can be an addition to form the required number, and a child lying in a cradle hasn't produced anything, and he's certainly underage and having produced nothing, and yet he joins up. The Yesh Lomar the Hosam, and Sotosis answers the Hosam Airi Ba'asora. That is talking about a group of nine, and you would be having this infant join up to complete 10. So in that case, so we have a leniency of allowing even a katan hamutabarisa to join up. V'hocha, in the discussion of mezanin olav in our Gemara, is ayri ba'asora, is v'hocha ayri b'shlosha, is talking about three. And in order to create a unit of three, there we would have a higher standard, because you're dealing with fewer people, so we have a higher standard. Oh, Shema, a second approach could very simply be Oh, Shema, Pligi Adadi. Or it could be that these two Gemaras are at odds with one another. The Gemara that says you can use a Katan Mutabarisa is more lenient than our Gemara that says only a Katan Poreach. We continue to the Tosis at the top of Mem Ches, being that this was part of our Shiur of the Gemara from Daf Mem Zayin. The Tosis at the top says, "V'les hilchuso kechol hani shmeitzo, elo ki ha, koton hayodea." And the Gemara, after having dealt with the different suggestions or different opinions about what joins up to complete the required number, the Gemara here at the top of Memches finally rules that the halacha is not like all of these teachings. Rather, it follows Rav Nachman, who says that a katan hayodea mimavarchem is amar lav, as a child is aware of to whom brachos are being recited, namely is aware of the fact that we're blessing the Almighty. Then we join him into a zimun. Tosfos deals with the issue of what is being rejected when the Gemara says the halacha is not like all of the previous teachings. Mashma dekoi nami a Rabbi Yochanan. It sounds like the Gemara is rejecting Rabbi Yochanan as well. Rabbi Yochanan was found at the bottom of Mem Zayin Amud Beis. You can see three lines from the bottom. Rabbi Yochanan, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Kotan Poreach, Mezamnen Olav. And Rav Nachman, or the Gemara, in saying Les Hilchos of Kohani Shmeitz, is coming to reject that as well. Now, Velo Nihira, but it doesn't appear that that's the way things should go. Shere Ein Derech HaGemara Shesoser Divrei Amoroyim V'Habraisa Shehevi Raya L'Divrei Rabbi Yochanan Beloi Shum Tam. After all, Rabbi Yochanan not only is he very significant, but there was a brisa that supported him as well. The Gemara said, Tanya Nami Ochi, a brisa supporting Rabbi Yochanan. The whole issue of Kotan Poreach, as we just finished discussing in our previous discussion. So to come out here and just rule against that without any reason seems very unlikely. V'yesh lomar, dekoi akotan poreach, that when the Gemara says that we will not follow the previous teaching, is in fact going on the case of kotan poreach. However, we have to be careful and watch how we qualify things. Klomar, kotan poreach de mezamnin olov, the Gemara had, Rabbi Yochanan had himself said that we join a kotan poreach in a zimun, hainu dafka hayodea lemi mevorchim, utravayu bo'inon. When the Gemara says here, v'les hilchaso kohani shmaitze elo ki hodim Rav Nachman, the Gemara is trying to, in fact, paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, but adding a qualification, like making sure that it's clear what kind of kotan poreach we will accept. Namely, it's not enough that he has these hair stubbles, but he also has to be aware to whom we are mevorech. Utravayu bo'inon, both elements are necessary: the appearance of the stubbles and his awareness. Ulapirushenu tzorach lomar delo maisi, and according to our explanation, we have to say that the continuation of this Gemara here at the top of Mem Ches, where after Rav Nachman's point was made, so a little story was brought with Abaye and Rava, and they were seated with Rabba, and Rabba asked them, "Do you know to whom we are mevorech?" And they answered correctly, to the Almighty. And he further asked them, "Well, where is the Almighty?" And Rava and Abaye responded the way they did, as we learned in the Gemara. So, according to our pshat, Tzorach lomar delo maisi uvdo d'Abaye v'Rava le'inyan azmuni alayhu, Abaye and Rava, who were featured in the story, are not brought in to show that we would have them join in a zimun. Elo lefarish mahu koton hayodei lemi mevorchim. It's featured in our Gemara just to show what level of knowledge is necessary. What would be a koton that does know unto whom we are blessing? The mistama lo porchin havu. In all likelihood, Rav and Abaye in this story were very young. They didn't have any signs of pubic hair development. The im came, because if they did, my rabusayu im yoidim lemi mevorchim. What would be the big deal for a child that has pubic hair development in stubble form that they know to whom one is mevorech? For Rabbo nami de'ovad, and Rabbo who did what he did in this little story, hainu laharos sheishman bino v'heim ketanim, to show that here you have examples of minors that have wisdom, have bina, or have understanding. The lo mezamnen alayu, but not that we would have them join in a zimun. V'omer Rabbeinu Tam, af al pi de les hichas kachol hanishmaitza, even though the Gemara rejected the previous teachings that we saw at the bottom of Daf Mem Zayinam Ubeis, mihu halocha k'rib Yeshua ben Levi de omar koton mamish oisin oiso snif la sora. However, we are not going to reject Rabbi Shimon Levi that says that a boy that's an actual minor is made as a snif, an addition, to form a group of 10. In other words, we add him to a group of 9 to form 10. V'hocha deboinon poreach yodea, and in our Gemara, where we're saying that you need to have poreach and knowledge, and which is not a cotton mamish, it's older. So hainu dafka b'shlosha. That's only when you're dealing with 3. Now this distinction is something we saw in the Tosfos back on Mem Zayin Omid Beis at the end of the
the last Tosfos there, Dibur Masel Katan Poreach.
The less hilchasoka cholhani shmeitza, that expression lo koi a Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, that's not going on
Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. It would be of some value to look back on Daf Mem Zayin Amid Beis to see where Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's name appeared, and you will notice that he was one of our triangles that we had. In the widest lines of the Gemara, you can see, let's say, the fourth of those lines, that where Rabbi Shulman Levi said, even though Kot Mutav Arisa, you're not Mizamin over with him, but Oysen Osu Snif La'asora. So he appeared over there. And Tosfos now makes a point concerning the positioning of this Gemara of Les Hilchasa and where he appeared.
So that the comment here of Les Hilchos Kohani Shmaitza Loko Rav Shulman Levi, the Daiko Nami, by careful reading, you will notice Share Mafsik HaGemora Bein Tayim Ba'oise Maise de Rabbi Lezer. There was an additional incident quoted in the Gemara after Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's halacha, the incident involving Rabbi Eliezer, who had freed his slave. And all this you can see by just looking back on Mem Zayin and Beis, where the triangles appear. This was a subsequent Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi teaching that introduced the Rabbi Eliezer story freeing the slave. The Le'olam Yashkim Odom, the Tanya Kavosei. So, basically, it's way back there that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi mentioned his halacha of the Kotel Mutar Brisa is a Snif La'asora. And quite a bit later, you have this comment of Les Hilchaso Kechol Hani Shmaitza. Elo Koi Ahani Shmaitza the Bosur Tanya Kavosei the Yashkim. So the comment of the Gemara of not following all of these teachings doesn't extend all the way back to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, but rather to those things that came afterwards. Kegoin, Tisha, V'oron, V'Shabbos, Ushnayim, V'Tisha Nirim Kasora, Ushnayim Mechadidim, V'Koton Poreach. In other words, all of these were much more recent teachings that are much closer to this comment at the top of Mem Ches Omid Aleph, at the top of our Omid. Those are the halachas that are being rejected, and they included 9 and the Torah Ark, and two people and Shabbos, and the case of 9 looking like 10. And 2 people that learned halacha that sharpened each other in Torah learning, and the case of Katan Poreach. But of course, as we defined, the Katan Poreach that's rejected would be he has only the stubbles but doesn't have awareness. Afogav de Tana Braisa Hochi La Suye Poreach. Even though we have the Tanaic source that includes Poreach as being a member of a Zimun, Ya'amideno, Rav Nachman will explain that, just like we explained a moment ago, Bi'eino Yodea Lami Mevorchim. That's the case of though he has the stubbles, he doesn't have the knowledge of to whom we're Mevorech. V'hainu nami k'Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Damar Le'el, and this will conform also to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi that said earlier, Kotlin ein mezamnen olav. A minor does not join to a form azimun. And what is that Kotlin? Pirush mutol barisa. He's in a cradle. He's very young. Ad shiyeda l'mi mevorchim. Until he has awareness to whom we are blessing. Avol oisin oisus snif la'asora. But and this is what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi had taught, that will enable him to join up to form a group of to complete the group to be 10. Pirush lebirchas hamozon, vuadin letfila, to form a group of 10 for a zimun with the Shem Hashem, and for tefillah as well, the Baholo Polig Rav Nachman. Regarding this, Rav Nachman doesn't disagree. The Chiboy Yodeo Poreach, that which Rav Nachman requires both elements, knowledge and stubbles, that's Hanimili Lezimun Shloisha. Once again, Tosfos is going over this distinction that he made already before and back on the previous Amid. That's when it comes to a Zimun of three, Avalisnif, but as one who's joined up to form a group of 10, Moda Rav Shulben Levi, the Snifla Sora, that even if he lacks one of these elements, he nevertheless can become, he might lack both elements. It can be used to complete a group of 10. Fuadin Litfila, the Kotten Mitzdarif, and likewise, if you've got 9 people and you need a tenth individual, the Kotten, the minor, can be that tenth. V'daiko Nami, and by, again, proof to this is, the Porich Allah, the question was raised, Mimaisi the Rabbi Lezer Shoya Litfila, the Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi, the Mairi Babircha Samozon. The idea that we are not going to make a distinction between tefillah and a birchas hamazon of 10 is from the fact that a question was raised from the Maisa of Rebbe Lezer, which involved tefillah, on Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi, who was talking about birchas hamazon. It shows then that both are, and you wouldn't ask from apples on oranges. Ella, like Tosfos says, that both topics are under the same rules, the same heading, so you can ask on one from the other. So that when we look back on Mem Zayim Abayz and Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi had said Tisha Ve'Evid Mitztarfin, that was for Birchas Hamazon, and then a question was raised on that from a case of Tefillah. But that's okay because the same rules will apply. Umihu tema. However, there is a question to be raised. The Bebracious Rabba Komar Allah the Rishu Ben Levi, in the Medrash, it says, it comments concerning the din of Rishu Ben Levi, Hodahu de tema the Birchas Hamazon, Avalit Filo Lo. The Medrash seems to make a clear distinction between Birchas Hamazon and Tefillah, that Rishu Ben Levi's leniency will be acceptable for Birchas Hamazon and not for Tefillah. V'hoyo Omer Rabbeinu Tam D'ein Halocha Kein L'fi Shecholik Al HaGemara Shelanu. The Halocha is not like the Medrash suggests, because it's at odds with our Gemara. D'vadai Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi L'inyin Tefillah Nami Ka'omar B'deporach Mi'uv D'Rabbi Lezer D'mayri B'Tefillah. When Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi says his din that Tisha V'Evet on Mitztarfin, he is speaking also with regard to Tefillah. Because otherwise, why would the Gemara ask from the incident where Rabbi Lezer freed his slave, which we see was a problem, if they are two different realms? Then there would be no grounds for even raising the question. If, as the Medrash suggests, that the Birchas Hamazon and Tefillah are two different considerations. V'yesh mitzarfin kotten l'tefillah, rak shiye chumish v'yado. There are those that want to say that you can have a kotten join for Tefillah to form a group of 10, provided he is holding a chumish in his hand. V'yomer Rabbeinu Tam, the minig shtus hu. Rabbeinu Tam says that's a foolish practice. The chiyeh v'domar, just like the Gemara had asked, Otu Oron Gavrahu, is the holy ark, is the ark of the Torah scroll ark, a person, Hochinami, here too, the same kind of objection would be raised. Otu Chumash Gavrahu, does a Chumash constitute a man? So we saw the Gemara rejecting the Oron as joining up. So on the same grounds, we would object to having the Chumash being the make or break factor. V'yod ha dekomar kotten mitztaref Furthermore, that which we say that a cotton joins up, hainu afilu below chumash, that means a cotton is mitzar even without a chumash. V'odolo chazina b'shum duchta demahani, we don't find any precedent for such a thing of being of halachic benefit. Ela be'uvda de'ibur hashana k'shom b'aliya b'pirkei the Rebbe Elazar, except for an incident where calculations are made for extending a year. That's called ibur hashana, when they rise to a loft in order to make these calculations, which is featured b'pirkei the Rebbe Elazar. De'ka'amar, it says over there b'shloisha ma'abrin es hashana. If you have three people there, then you can declare the year, then the year can be considered extended. And that the Ibur Shana involves adding a second Ador because of calculations, so that those would have to take place with three. And Rebbe Elazar Omer Ba'asora. Rebbe Elazar says not three, but you need to have ten. V'im Nismatu, and if they are less than ten, so Mevi'in Sefer Torah, V'oisin Igula V'chulei. There you see a Sefer Torah is brought. The Ein Maskir Shom She HaKotten Oiches HaSefer Torah. It doesn't mention over there that the cotton, that the miner is holding a Sefer Torah. Vasanami Lo Komar Elo Sefer Torah. And even there, which is the closest that you're going to get to a source for the for this idea of a Chumash or a Sefer Torah, there it speaks specifically about a complete Torah scroll. A Sefer Torah also begilion. That's a Sefer Torah that's in a scroll form. Avol chumashim shalonu lo. But, and this is the Rabbeinu Tam making his point, that that our chumashim, which are not in a scroll form, certainly would not be of significance to help complete the required number of people. Umiu koma b'yushami om Rabbi Yossi kama zimnin achlis im Rabbi Chalafta Abba v'im Rabbi Chanino bar Sarsi chavivi v'lo mizamnin iluvoi ad shevesi shtei saris. So a little incident, an incident there in Yushami has Rabbi Yossi telling us that he ate together with his father Rabbi Chalafta and with Rabbi Chanino bar Sarsi. Chavivi might very mean like his uncle. So his father and his uncle and he were eating, and they wouldn't have me join for azimun ad shevesi shtei saris, until I produced two hairs. Umishom mashma delitstarif azimun lo avdin uvda ad shiyovi shtei saris. From that incident, it would seem that for zimun, you don't act having a minor unless he's got the two hairs. Ha litfilo avdi, but for tefillah, we would allow even without the two hairs. So this Yerushalmi would appear that a distinction is made between tefillah and birchas hamazon, and that would run counter to the point that was made before that one does not make a distinction. With regard to the distinction between tefillah that requires 10 and a zimun of 10. Umitoch Yushami zeh pirush ri, and based on this Yushami, the ri explains the ein oisin cotton snif lasora lo letefillah velo lebirchas hamazon. Now you'll notice the diamond we use here is in contrast with Rabbeinu Tam, and because Rabbeinu Tam represented an opinion that was quite the opposite, that a cotton is a smith la'asara, whether it be tefillah or birchas hamazon. The Ri wants to say that we don't have the cotton being the tenth person, not for tefillah nor for birchas hamazon. V'gam hoyo meri, shigam Rabbeinu Tam atzmo lo hoyo nohe glasos kein lasos cotton smif la'asara v'lo samaisa. Even the Rabbeinu Tam, who seemed to speak with the tone of leniency, didn't actually act thusly. The Hilkoch, afilu chumish biyada lo mahani could be rashnu. And therefore, once we're saying the cotton doesn't join, it won't help even with a chumish in his hands. as we explained, kivan delo ishani koton levado, since the koton on his own isn't acceptable. And this is the following this line of the re who wants to base his comments on that Yerushalmi. So since on his own he's not going to be effective, the chumash isn't going to help either. That's gam chumash b'yod lo ishani. And that is, as we said before, that just like we said, the holy ark of the Torah scroll ark is not a man, so the chumash isn't a man either. Umiu koton poreach v'yodea l'mi mevorchen mashma shemevorchen alov gam b'shlosha kabraisa v'leko ma'an depolit. However, with regard to a zimun of three, if you're dealing with a cotton that has hair stubbles, it doesn't seem that anyone would argue with accepting him to form a group of three for a zimun. That's v'leko ma'an depolit. V'ze loshon rabbeinu shepoisek, and Tosha says this is the lashon of Rabbeinu who rules maskonu de milso ein oisin cotton snif lasor lezimun litfila. We don't allow a cotton to be the tenth individual for a zimun of ten or for tfila ulishloisha ad shiyovi shtei saris. And we should say we don't make him a snif lasor lezimun tfila ulishloisha ad shiyovi shtei saris ke'uvdu de Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chalafta b'Yerushalmi. So only then would we entertain having a cotton join up that he has produced the hair stubbles like the incident involving Rabbi Yosi in the Yerushalmi. V'hod amrin Rabbi Yerushalmi cotton v'sefeter oisin oisus snif, and that which it says in the Yerushalmi that a cotton and a sefer Torah we do have them join up. Omeri de goras hasam cotton l'sefer Torah, not cotton and sefer Torah, but rather a cotton for the purposes of sefer Torah. Klomar snif l'kriya satorah k'omar. This would mean that he can be one of the people that is considered those that get an aliyah for the Torah on Shabbos. The dafka hosam, and only in that case, as far as a snif for kriya satorah. In other words, there's a minimum number of people that are required to receive aliyah to the Torah on different days. So the cotton could be one of those, and only in that case, kedisa b'megillah, the cotton oilu minyan shiva, that the cotton can be counted as one of those seven people for aliyah l'Torah. The ka'amar hakol oilu minyan shiva. It says there that everyone counts toward the seven, afilu cotton, afilu isha, and even a woman, I lo have mishum kovet tzibur, if not for the fact that it would be a violation to the dignity of the tzibur to have a woman reading from the Torah. But in principle, she could also receive an aliyah to the Torah. An aliyah, from the Gemara's point of view, really means that would be the person that would be reading from the Torah for the tzibur. So that the idea of a cotton, that idea that Yerushalmi mentions a cotton and Sefer Torah is really the cotton for the purpose of not completing the minyan, the 10 people required to be there, but one of the 7 people that are called up for the Torah reading. Aval ishar dvorim loy, but for other things a cotton would not be considered. V'afilu im ashram b'shum duchta de cotton v'chumish mitzdarif, afilu tefila. And even if you find some source that says that a cotton and a chumash could join up for completing the required number of people for tefillah, hainu dafka ha'osu begilion. That's only a chumash that's written on in a scroll form. Aval chumashim shelonu lo, but our chumashim, which are written in book form, would not be considered even there. L'pirish Rabbeinu Tam, chumash eino moil klal biyad cotton. Avol cotton l'chud have a sniff. as far as the Rabbeinu Tam is concerned, the Chumash is of no consideration whatsoever, being held by a cotton. But a cotton by him on his own, according to Rabbeinu Tam, could be the tenth person. Aval trei lo, kidekomar gabi uvdo de Rabbi Eliezer. But having two ketanim and let's say eight adults, that would not be acceptable. It was one cotton to being the tenth when you have nine adults, yes, but not two ketanim, as was illustrated in the incident on Daf Mem Zayin Mabez with Rabbi Eliezer, where the Gemara spoke about his Eved joining up. That was a case where there were already nine people, but to have two Avodim, no way. Rabbeinu Tam Pirish, Dahi, Yerushalmi, Rabbi Yossi Brachalavto, Dafko, Bishlosha, Mairi. The Rabbeinu Tam says that the incident in Yerushalmi with Rabbi Chalavto and the insistence on the hairs is only in the case of three. But, and this would be the Rabbeinu Tam Lashitasa, but if it were Snif La'asara, we wouldn't have that insistence on the producing of the hairs. With that, we conclude our Tosfos Shir for today.